Blog Talk Radio.
G'day mate, this is Maddie from Australia and you're tuned in to the Queen's Lounge with the greatest host Emma E2K on LushRadioOnline.com.
Listening to www.lushradioonline.com with your sexy host, Emma E2K, and this is the Queen's Lounge. The Queen's Lounge, and tonight we are serious at the Queen's Lounge. We're talking about a strong topic that is already been crazy since earlier today on the group page and all my pages. And everybody has been leaving their comments and, you know, their feelings. So many people with so many stories, and hopefully we'll be able to get to hear several of them. Tonight's topic is about domestic violence. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, which is Lush Radio Online. We have the group page we have all our group pages. And before I get to that, let me give a big shout out to Lushy Lush, who is in Brooklyn celebrating the big cousin from Brooklyn's birthday, Big Boss Lady Tima. Enjoy, ladies. Have a great time out there. Also, bigger shout out to Tammy Feliciano, who's on deck on the Facebook, and everybody that's on the Twitter following me, Emma E2K. Follow me, Emma E2K, on the Facebook. We're at the group page where I'm on the Queen's group page. And in order for you to follow me at the group page, go to Emma E2K, and I have a link on there. And you can easily just go and come to the group page. Make sure you leave anything you want me to read out on live on the air. Make sure you write it down, whether it be a shout out, whether it be a comment to what we're talking about today, which is domestic violence. I did see that someone, Gio, had left me a comment trying to get to it. Okay, here we go. All right, so my friend, shout out to Gio. He writes here, my mother's an abuse survivor. My 25-year-old female cousin was murdered by her spouse, and that's what inspired the writing of his first novel, which is Waiting for the Sun to Rise. And he says he didn't write it for the fame, but he wrote it to reach to any woman of any ethnic that there's always a way out and not to be afraid to speak up before it's too late. And you can find his book at Amazon.com or EliteRoyalties.com. And, you know, shout out to him and, you know, for doing something. He at least wrote a book and, you know, at least he did something. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. I wrote some facts. I've been leaving some facts on the Queen's group page. And it says here, 92% of women survive listed reducing domestic violence and sexual assault as their top concern. And nearly one in five teen girls who have been in a relationship said a boyfriend threatened violence or self-harm is presented with a breakup. Studies suggest that up to 10 million children witness some form of domestic violence annually. 10 million children witnessing some form of violence. Domestic violence annually. That's horrible. Those numbers shouldn't be up so high. You know, it is truly horrible. Call in 347-826-7722 and let me know, you know, let me know your story. Let me know, you know, if you have a story, if you know anyone that has suffered from, you know, domestic violence. I mean, it's a horrible thing, you know. It's definitely a horrible thing. Let me go into some music, and I'll be right back.
Somebody's life. Because they don't talk about it, they're embarrassed that they stayed in a relationship or that they got there in the first place. That's one of the reasons why they get trapped and why there's a lot of people living in a lot of pain. Pella Gal Pal, Pass It On, Act and Learn, encourages people to not be afraid to talk to their friends, talk to their neighbors, talk to their family members about domestic violence.
There's something beyond the abuse, and once people start speaking about it and speaking out about it, they can become empowered. I can't tell you how many people have said, oh my gosh, that happened to me, that happened to my sister, that happened to a friend of mine.
Uno tiene que tener su propio.
We have to have our own self-esteem to be able to continue to be strong and to say, that's it, I can't stand this anymore, and life changes for us.
You don't live in fear anymore. You'll never forget, but you won't live in fear.
Utilize what's out there. Don't stay in that relationship. You deserve better, is what I'd like to say to any woman. You just deserve better.
Shout out to all my queens. You're in the Queens Lounge, and we're discussing domestic violence. You're listening to www.lushradioonline.com with your sexy host, MA2K. And usually I'm usually feeling a little more cheery, but, you know, I'm on a serious topic, so I'm trying to stay in the tone. Shout out to everybody that's on the check-in. A big, big shout out to all the queens from Business Queens 24 on the Facebook group, showing me a lot of love and support. All the call-ins, all the Twitters, I see ya. Thank you for following me. Make sure you follow me on the Twitter, MA2K, also E2K Enterprise, and Lush Radio Online. Shout out to everybody that's already on the IM with me and all those leaving their marks. Don't forget to follow me. I'm MAE2K. When you go there, I'm going to leave you a link that's going to take you to my group page where I'm on now, which is the Queens Lounge, and that's where I'm reading stuff from. So if you want to know what I'm reading and all the information, I posted it on that page. Please make sure you get on that. Leave me whatever you need to leave me, and I will, you know, talk about it on the air. I want to read this real quick before I go into my next caller, which is, what is domestic violence? Domestic violence is a pattern of behavior used to establish power and control over another person through fear and intimidation, often including the threat or use of violence. Domestic violence can include physical abuse, emotional abuse, economic abuse, and sexual abuse. Batterers use threats, intimidation, isolation, and other behaviors to maintain power over their victim. Domestic violence impacts everyone, regardless of income, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or religion. 30% of Americans say they know a woman who has been physically abused by her husband or boyfriend. Domestic violence also affects same-sex relationships, and men can be victims as well. Other terms for domestic violence include intimate partner violence, battering, relationship abuse, spousal abuse, or family violence. So either way you want to call it, or either way people want to define it, it's still a sad situation. I'm going to go into my caller. Also, don't forget, when I go into my callers, if you're calling just to listen to the show because you can through the phone, it's not a problem. I give you the three-second rule, which is 1, 2, 3. You don't say nothing. I am not going to take you off the air. You can continue to listen. I just have to go to the phone because then people are like, why you didn't come on the phone? So 215-215, you're on with MA2K on the Queen's Lounge. Peace. 215, you get the 3 seconds. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I think I had you on mute. I'm sorry. 215? Okay. Okay. All right. Not a problem. You can continue to listen. It's not a problem at all. I have you on hold, so you just continue listening to the show. Thank you for calling in. So the topic is domestic violence, and, you know, we're discussing it's a serious situation. I'm reading a couple of facts just for in case people don't know. There's certain facts here. Every woman who thinks she is the only victim of violence has to know that there are many more. And that's by Salma Hayek. One more before I go into the line, to my other phone line. If the numbers we see in domestic violence are applied to terrorism or gang violence, the entire country would be up in arms, and it would be the lead story on the news every night. And that's by Rep. Mark Green. Wow, these numbers are just too high. I'm going on the line. Again, I'm going to repeat, when I call your number, if you don't want to speak or leave a comment, just want to hear the show, that is fine. I give you the three-second rule. After 3 seconds, if you don't say anything, then you just continue to listen. I'm going on the phone lines now, 214. You're on with Emma E2K on the Queen's Lounge.
Hi, Emma.
Hi. Peace. Who's this?
This is Ms. Shayla from Business Queen 24.
Awesome. So glad to have you on the line, Queen.
Wonderful. Good to talk to you too, Queen. I am so glad to have you over in our group. It's an empowerment group on Facebook, as you know, because you are a member. And I'm so glad to have you because you have a platform for women that is so important. So first of all, I want to just tip my hat to you for feeling the call to raise awareness of domestic violence. It's so important because, as you said, a lot of people don't talk about it, and which is one of the reasons why I called. I had a question.
Sure.
How do you, as a friend, who may not, you know, be familiar with, you know, well, we know about it, but it wasn't up close and personal in your own life. And then all, you know, then you may have a friend who is suffering from it, you know, a relative that you find out is suffering from it, and you want to help them, and they seem to be, you know, in a cycle. You know, you listen to them, listen to them, listen to them, and then they go back to their abuser. You know, how do you, how would a friend, you know, or, you know, stay patient? You know, I mean, okay. Yeah, how do we stay patient to help them?
I've been on both sides of those of that fence, and it's tricky. You know, what I can say is just continue to be a force that they know that they have. Although you think that you're talking and they're not listening, they actually are listening. They just maybe at that point in time are not strong enough to take the following step, which is either to leave or to plan or to feel self-empowered enough to know that they're worth, you know, that they're worth a lot more. But it doesn't mean that they're not listening. They hear what you're saying. It's just whatever's happening on the other side, it's a little too much overwhelming. But it's always good for them to know that there's someone that in case they can call, somewhere they can run to. You know, you just try to facilitate that information to them, like, okay, and, you know, if you ever have to run out your house, listen, I have an extra pair of clothes here, whatever, if you need to run, or your baby's pampers, just leave everything behind and just come here, you know, at whatever time, or call me, or meet me, or go, you know, give them a safe place where they can go, and then they can call you, maybe you can pick them up or pay a cab for them. You know, it sounds like there's nothing much you can do, but really at that point, that's really all you can do other than turn your back on them. And then turning your back, all you're doing is, you're making them do is isolate themselves a lot more, you know?
Right. Well, that sounds really good. That sounds really good, and it brings to mind, you know, a relative who was not in, she wasn't like in a cycle. There was never incidences of it, but she happened to get with a guy who was on drugs, and she didn't know it at the time, you know, how deep it was, or just even that he was. And he just would make threats. He didn't abuse her, but he just told her, you know, if you leave me, I'll kill you. And I just remember, you know, how I told her, you know, when you need to start making plans and start packing things up in places that, you know, he won't notice. And then when he leaves, you need to be really ready. You need to have all of your ducks lined up. And so I remember that day that she did that, and she, like, had me on the phone, you know, and he knew me, and it was just as if he was, you know, as if she was just talking to someone. And when he left, she knew just about how long he'd be gone, and she hurried up and packed through those things in her car and left. And she met up with him maybe like a year and a half later. She saw him somewhere, and he, you know, acted all nice and this, that, and another. And he disclosed to her that he had looked for her for almost a year, and if he found her, he was going to kill her. So, you know, what you just said is very important, to have a backup plan, have a plan, help them have a plan. And that, I appreciate that, because that is going to make me go ahead and, you know, if their situation, I think all women need to know, you know, if you know someone, have a friend that's, you know, in a situation like that, have them, because, you know, most of the time the abusers know, they even socialize with everybody else. But what that woman can do is, just from your suggestion, is go ahead and have, like you just said, a survival pack somewhere outside of her house.
You can even make copies of your important documents. Make copies, have copies at home, leave your original somewhere safe, that in an emergency you need to run, you're not going to stop and look for papers or whatever. You got to get out of there.
That's right.
You know, get your children out of there, and you already have that kind of stuff somewhere else. But this is a process that goes gradually, and this is something that, You know, it's most dangerous when you're ready to leave that abusive relationship. It's really not that dangerous when you're in it. It's more dangerous when you're about to leave. Like, that's where the danger really comes in, because when that man doesn't feel that he has that power over you anymore, or woman, because, this, you know, there are men that, you know, that this happens to as well, you know, everyone's affected. You're talking about the children, and everyone's affected. So there has to be a plan. You have to make a plan of getaway, you know, and it has to be when they're ready. It cannot be when you tell your friend, okay, listen, let's do it this day. No, it has to be when your friend says, I'm ready, I'm done, like, this is it. And then that's when the plan of action has to take place, because if they're not ready, trust and believe that they're not going to go anywhere, you know. And it's sad, because a lot of people like, oh, but why do you stay? Oh, he beats you, or he does this, and why don't you just leave him? You know, it's just so much more to just the beating and everything else. It's just the whole mind thing. By that time, the woman already feels so battered and doesn't give herself that value, that importance. So whatever he says goes. If he says you're ugly, you're fat, nobody's going to want you with four kids and five kids, and he says that long enough to her, then that's what she believes. You know,
yeah.
Because there's no one else telling her you're beautiful, you're pretty, you can do it, you know, because that's the whole point. They want to isolate you. They're not going to let you be around people that are going to uplift you and empower you, because then that takes control away from them.
Well, also, too, Emma, what do you think about, like, a lot of young people? I'm noticing, I'll tell you a little brief story. My daughter she's 15, and last year she got a note from a young boy, probably around her age. He was in a class, so he had to be around her age, and he wrote her a note, and he would say little things to her, but he had the friend give her this note. Well, she didn't read the note. She gave it. She told one of her friends on the bus that she'd gotten a note from this young boy, and so her friend read it and said, oh, that's sweet. And my daughter never read it. She just laughed, you know, because she wasn't interested in him, but she just laughed, and her friend just kind of gave her a few little highlights in the letter. Well, my daughter's spirit, you know, I'd say thank you, Lord. She's pretty honest with me, so she told me about the letter. She told me about the boy and how he would say just little things, but he had his friend give her this letter, I guess, to go ahead and say, hey, I really want to make this official or whatever. And, which, you know, she can't have boyfriends that age anyway, and she doesn't really incline to even want it. But anyway, about 2 weeks later, I was cleaning out a drawer, and I saw a little note folded up, and I took it out, and I realized, oh, this is the note that this young boy had written her. And when I read the note, I just was, like, floored, because he sounded so much like he was, you know, he would be one of those isolators. It was where he would say things about, you know, I want to protect you. I, you know, it'll be just you and me. And
you know what happens? Then you have to look into the parents, right? Because this becomes a cycle. This is an ongoing cycle that when the children do it, it comes from the home automatically. I mean,
it had to be, and she would tell me about some little aggressive things, you know, he would do in class, you know, arguing with the teacher. And I said, okay, he sounds like he came from exactly what you said, a home where there was abuse. But I also was noticing her little friend's reaction. And this is a young woman, a young lady who comes from a two-parent household. They live in one of the nice suburbs in a nice home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised that she would think, oh, that's so sweet. But when I looked at it, I looked at a little stalker, you know, like a little guy that would be, you know, trying to separate my daughter, and that would be some kind of little isolator like that.
Right. And that's good. And that's good that you have that relationship with your daughter. See, that's another thing, too, that us as mothers, or, you know, our mothers didn't have that relationship with us as far as that we can go and talk to them. So if we've seen our mother being abused by, you know, our dads or our stepdads, and we kind of look at it as a norm, what happens is when we're choosing, then if he hits us, he slapped us, he told me he loved me, he won't do it again. I kind of seen this already, or I've seen it in my neighborhood, or I've seen it somewhere. Then I think this is what's supposed to happen. I don't see it as a big red flag. Now, you know, my mother, her and I, when we were younger, didn't have that type of relationship, but there is one thing that I thank her so much to this day, that she constantly used to instill in me, you know, you're beautiful. You are, you know, you're a diamond. Your virginity is a gold, and you have to, you know, walk with your head up high and be proud of who you are. And she just would always instill that in me, you know, you're a princess, and you're this, and you're valuable, and you're worth it, and you're, and she stuck so much that in me that, you know, I kind of wrap myself around that whenever I would be in an abusive situation. I'll be like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be going through this. My mother says I'm beautiful, you know, and somebody told me I'm ugly. Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. I'm not, you know. And I'm glad that she did that because at least I had that voice to help me balance out and not let me go into that deep, deep depression where I'm not hearing no one else tell me that I'm valuable and I'm beautiful, you know. So that's very important, even for the fathers, to have a relationship with their daughters and let their daughters know, because that's the first relationship we have with a man, with a boy, is or through our dad. And so if our dad is missing from home, then an uncle, somebody as a male figure should step in with these young girls and let them know how important, how valuable they are, you know, how they shouldn't demean themselves for a pair of sneakers or even just to be the coolest, you know, person in school. My phone lines are off the hook. I'm going to have to go on the line and pick up a call. Okay,
so great, great, Emma. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you for calling. Hang on with me. And
bye-bye.
I'm going to go into 917, y'all. Wait, I mean, it's okay. I'm the Queen's Lounge. 917-435.
Emma, what up, girls? TDI, how you doing, baby?
Please, hey, TDI, sorry. The phone lines was off the hook. I needed
I know,
your helpline on the board.
You should have told me. I did it.
I know. Well, TDI, you know, it's a Lush Radio online staff. And so everybody shout out TDI, even though he can't hear you. Say hi, TDI. You're already hearing the topic that we are. Do you want to chime in a little bit, or did you just call for support? Do you want to say anything in behalf of the men? Because, you know, I'm speaking to the women's perspective. There was another woman on the line. Maybe you want to chime in on a men's side.
On a whole what, domestic dispute?
Yeah, with the domestic violence and stuff.
I'm speaking to the ladies right now. I know dudes, like, from afar who beat up on their girls, and I know dudes who are really, like, into the whole domestic thing and feel like it's okay to do it. My advice to the ladies is get up, go. Just go. Forget about how much you think you love this guy or how much you think he loves you. If respect is out the door, then there's no chance of this relationship getting better. It's just a downhill from here on out. So, and trust me, there's no getting inside of the minds of these people. Like, these people are really, it's probably a chemical imbalance in the brain or something, but it's dangerous. And it's going to, if it's starting off physical, it's going to end fatal. So, ladies, if y'all out there, y'all just eavesdropping and you're listening, get up, go, and get away from this guy fast, because I know females too.
Now let me ask you, as a man, because sometimes the women, we get caught up with, you know, he says he loves us, and after he punches on us, then we got the black eye. He's like, I'm not gonna do it again, babe. I swear, I promise, I'm gonna get help. Is that coming from, you know, is that true? Because, and then if when they slap her again, I mean, so does
it's
he mean
not
it
true.
Does,
no,
does he...
that's just a cleanup. That's just a cleanup. The mess he just made. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. That's just another way of him saying, please don't call the cops on me, or please don't tell your brother, or you know what I'm saying? Don't tell anybody, but, you know, I won't do it again, I promise. It's just to patch things up, and they're going to do it again. Because if he put his hands on you once, he has no fear in doing it again. You know what I'm saying? He obviously doesn't care about hurting you physically. It's tough. I mean,
maybe.
It sucks, but...
yeah. Ladies, please take heed, take warning. We're trying to save a life. If we can save a life today or bring awareness to any woman that can possibly hear this or hear this afterwards, because I do archive the show, and people will hear it after today. So I'm trying to, you know, put out so much information.
People are interested on this show. I had a couple of people interested on this today. So
awesome, awesome. All right. So the phone lines are Benini. So let me keep going to the calls. Hang out with me. I'm gonna leave your line open, TDI. So you're gonna co-host me from now on. I'm gonna leave your line open. I'm gonna go to 347-527-524. You're on with Emma, E2K, and TDI. 347-524. 1, 2, 3. Second rule. Okay, you can continue to listen. You're on, back on hold. Let me go into 917-664. You're on with Emma, E2K, and TDI. 917-664. 3 second rule. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you're on hold. TDI.
Yep.
Yeah, so, okay, so, you know, people just want to listen in. That's cool. That's no problem. You're not forced to talk if you don't want to. You can stay anonymous also if you're calling in and want to just, shout out your story or give any type of information that can help any woman that will possibly be listening to the show. This is not a game, ladies. You know, it is not a game. You know, he does not love you. Love is not supposed to hurt. Love is not supposed to cause black eyes. TDI's Tammy Feliciano wants to shout you out and says that what you said was real talk. So shout out to TDI.
Shout out to Tammy,
Okay, also Lynette. Lynette wrote a whole bunch of stuff here. Lynette, girl, you on fire. Okay, here it goes. A lot of women confuse love with violence. That's correct. That is correct. And or a lot of women lose their self-esteem, so they stay in the relationship because they feel they cannot get any better. Yeah, that's a big one, because right away the guy be like, oh, you're too fat. Nobody's going to want you. You got 4 kids. You got 5 kids. Listen. You are not too fat, okay? You do not have, so what? You got 5 baby daddies. You will find someone else. Trust that and believe that, because once you love yourself and once you respect yourself, then all the other stuff doesn't really matter, you know? So please, ladies, please make a plan and just get out. I don't even know how the stories are serious. Like, it only leads to death.
They all the same, though. If you hear the stories, they all the same. Like, it all has the same plot. Not saying that everybody's story is all lame and the same. No, I'm saying like it's all the same. It's all the guy beating up on the woman, and the woman is still there. Like, how do you let this relationship go a year or two of the same nonsense? Like, when is it?
Right.
When does that little light in your brain say, you know what? I refuse to get beat up. If you're gonna fight in the street with another girl, say something to you or she bumped you or whatever, y'all start fighting in the street, you're fighting because you don't want to get hit. Why are you going to let this punk dude, so-called your husband or your man, put hands on you? Like, for what? No love is worth that, man. No sex is worth that, nothing.
Yeah, it's not, definitely not that serious. Domestic violence victims lose nearly 8 million days of paid work per year in the U.S. alone. The equivalent of 32,000 full-time jobs.
Damn. Good fact.
Crazy.
Numbers is crazy.
Yeah, numbers is crazy. Oh, and studies suggest that up to 10 million children witness some sort of domestic violence annually. Annually, 10 million children are witnessing some sort of domestic violence.
And that somehow plays a factor.
Those numbers are too high. It says here, men who as children witnessed their parents' domestic violence were twice as likely to abuse their own wives than sons of nonviolent parents. So it is a cycle. It is a cycle. When you get to meet them, the first question you better start asking is, let me just ask you something. Just, just out of the table, guy, did your dad ever beat your mom? Because just know that that's more likely what's going to happen to you. Or get to meet the mother, or get to meet the sister or the family, and listen to the, you know, the family stories. And if there's fighting and, you know, abuse going on, guess what? Yeah, more than likely that's going to come to you. Do not think that you're special in any way and it cannot touch you. Every 9 seconds in the U.S., a woman is assaulted or beaten. Every 9 seconds. So by the time we finish with this show, you know how many women were already assaulted and beaten? That's horrible. These numbers are horrible. Like, I just want to just break down and cry. It's just horrible.
It is. It's sad. Because that could be your mom's. That could be your grandmother, your sister, like your aunt. I mean, I don't know how to, you know, even begin to even go down that route. I mean, shit.
Also, nearly one in five teenage girls who have been in a relationship said a boyfriend threatened violence or self-harm if presented with a breakup. So one out of every five teen girls has already experienced this, being threatened by a boyfriend, or the boyfriend saying, I'm going to do something to myself if you leave me, or whatever, you know? So that's crazy. We need to talk to our children more, too. We need to talk to our kids. We need to talk to our boys. We need to talk to our girls. We really need to talk to them and let them know, you know, what's going on. Sometimes they can't help it. Sometimes they can't help it. They're also victims themselves. But do you still stay there and let them beat you just because he's a victim himself? No. He's got to go get help. He's got to go get help. And you, by you staying there and letting him beat you, it's not helping. No, he doesn't get a pass. He doesn't get a pass because he had issues or he was violated or he was beat or whatever. No, he does not get a pass. What he needs to do is go and get help. That's what he needs to do, you know. Example, Whitney and Bobby Brown, Halle Berry, Rihanna and Chris Brown, okay, all examples of domestic violence. Shout out to Tammy for that one. You know, it's just crazy. The numbers are crazy. I'm looking at these numbers, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what?
Yeah, Emma, let me ask you as a female, not to cut you off, but let me ask you as a female about the whole Rihanna and Chris Brown thing. And shout out to Tammy for bringing that up. But what do you feel about her allegedly going back to this guy? Like, what does that tell all the other people, all the young teens and all the other people that look up to Rihanna as a role model?
I'm glad you brought that up. Tammy, shout out. You know, it's crazy, but I have to play devil's advocate on this because I've been on both sides of the fence. So she's not ready. She's still bugging out, kind of. You know what I mean? She's still not in grasp of what's really happening. Although, in Chris Brown's defense, he did go get help and he did, you know, he is seeking help. Okay, fine. Do I think they should be together? No. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But that's not gonna mean they might not get together, you know, because she publicly, while she was being interviewed by Oprah, mind you, she knows millions of people are looking at this interview, you know, she's there crying, talking about she loves him and he loves her and they love each other, like, you know what I mean? Letting it be known that it might go down. It might go down.
Oh, my God.
Back. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Disappointment,
this goes back, man. This goes back to the lady that was asking me about what do you do when you're a friend of someone, you know, and that's happening to them. This is why you don't really can't give voice too much of opinion, because you can say, oh, leave him, he's a dirtbag or whatever, and guess what happens? If she's going to go back to him, and then because you said that already about him, now she doesn't trust to come to you if she needs you in an emergency.
That's right.
You see? So you got to just thread real lightly with that. You know, if you know someone that's in it, you know, I'm telling you, it's not going to help you just criticizing the guy or saying he's a dirtbag or whatever. She knows that. Deep inside, she knows that. She just needs empowerment in another way in order for her to feel good so she can then leave that situation alone. But the more you bash him, the more she needs to protect him. You see how Rihanna said it? Rihanna said when everybody was going against Chris Brown, she felt like she needed to protect him because everybody else was bashing him and they weren't understanding where he was coming from. Did you hear what she said? She said that.
Yo, man, let me tell you something, man. I hope to God nobody follows her trail, because I'm telling you, if they do get back together and it happens again, she's gonna look like a big fool. And you don't even want a chance. You don't even want a chance. Forget about what she's doing. Like, you left the person the first time, you did the right thing. Trust me, you'll see it in the long run. You might not see it right then and there. You might miss them in the beginning. But, hey, Angel, let me tell you something. Let's not forget, there's women who are abusive, too.
Yes.
I see these girls in the street punching it. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? He's getting me mad. Listen, and then if he punches you in your face and knocks you out, then what?
Then he goes to jail. He goes to jail because, by the way, since they defend the woman, which I think that is horrible as well. That's horrible because I have boys, and I wouldn't want a young lady to come and just decide because she knows she can get away with it and slap my son, and then my son goes defend himself, and now he's locked up, and now he has a record, now he has all this, all because you wanted to feel like you were She-Ra or something. No, ladies, we got to keep our hands to ourselves, too, boo-boo. It doesn't work out like that. You know, nobody has a right to hit nobody. That's it. You just don't have a right to hit nobody. You keep your hands to yourself. Like I told my 4-year-old, keep your hands to yourself. I don't care if you're only 4. You do not have the right to strike at nobody, because if you don't teach that from young, by the time he gets a certain age, he thinks it's okay. And no, it's not okay. That is not okay, and it's not acceptable, not at all. Let me go into some music, and I'll be right back, TDI. Let's let everybody just think about it, wind down. People, I will be back on the phone at 845. I see you. I'm going to go with you once I get back, once we get back on the air, all right?
Off my mind. I need to get out of sight, but I end up behind bars. What started out as a simple altercation turns into a real sticky situation. Me just thinking on the time that I'm facing makes me wanna cry. 'Cause I didn't mean to hurt him. Could have been somebody's son, and I took his heart with. Rum pa pa pum, rum pa pa pum, rum pa pa pum. Man down, rum pa pa pum, rum pa pa pum, rum pa pa pum.
happened to me, ever happened to me. Why did I pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, boom? And then, life goes soon when me pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull it on you. Somebody tell me what I'm gonna do. Ram, pop, pop, bam, ram, pop, pop, bam, ram, pop, pop, bam. Me say I'm man down. Oh, me say ram, pop, pop, bam, ram, pop, pop, bam, ram, pop, pop, bam. When me went downtown, so now I am a criminal, criminal, criminal. Oh Lord, have mercy. Now I am a criminal. Man down. Tell the judge, please give me minimal. Run out of town. None of them can't see me now. See me now.
Oh, mama.
Mr. Do It All, vice versa, and you're checking out my sexy sis, my girl in a bag of pearls, Emma E2K, at the Queen's Lounge, right here on LushRadioOnline.com. Wow!
Yeah, and you listen to the Queen's Lounge with Emma E2K and my co-host TDI, and
yeah.
The topic today is domestic violence, man. That's what we're talking about. It's serious. The phone lines is going bananas. It's crazy. So much people got, you know, people got so much to say. That's why I said if you don't want to call in, you know, some people don't want to discuss it or act like it. There is not a problem. You can go to the Queen's Lounge. There's a link on my Emma E2K page. Come to the Queen's Lounge group page and leave all, you know, all your comments. Lynette, you left me like 25 of them. There's no way I'm going to read all of them, but every now and then I'll read something. She definitely had a lot to say. So people
good,
can go
good.
In and definitely feed everything Lynette left, which is very important, by the way. You know, it's just so much, and I'm trying to fit so much in and trying to get as many calls in as possible. So let me go into 845. 845, you're on with Emma E2K and TDI on the Queen's Lounge.
Why, hello, Emma. How are you doing? This is author Jeffrey McClanahan. Hi.
I'm so glad you got through.
Yes.
I'm so
Hi,
glad you
Emma.
Yes.
I'm listening to the show. I am in Chicago right now. Check that out. I'm in Chicago right now on another business trip, and I'm just so excited to listen to your show. Finally, finally I have called in. Hello, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, just feeling a little disturbed because we have to talk about this topic, and you know,
yes.
Not a lot of people need to talk about it, but not me. You know, I like to talk about everything that people don't like to talk about, especially when it affects my queens and you know, and the family as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
will know a lot
right.
about that because you are a published author with a book with talking about this topic. So. Chime in, and you know, let everyone
yes.
know about the book
yes.
and the reason why you wrote the book.
Oh my goodness! You know, I was listening to you know, your callers, and I just love the energy. Yes, definitely. I put out a book. My first novel actually is called Waiting for the Sun to Rise, and it's based on domestic violence. You know, this is a topic that is very taboo. A lot of people. In our community, you know, from the BX, I'm originally from the Bronx, stand up BX, but a lot of people do not talk about this topic, you know what I mean, it's very taboo. The first thing that I wanted to talk about, the reason why I wrote this book was because my female cousin at the age of 25, she was murdered in 2005. Unfortunately, you know, I have to keep it real, let's keep it real on Emma2K, I love keeping it real. In 2004, I was, you know, incarcerated at that time. I'm not proud of it. It's nothing to sit up here and say, oh, because I was incarcerated, I'm the man. No, that is nothing to gloat about. That is nothing, you know, there's nothing sexy about that, you know, for my men out there that's listening. But at that time, that's where I was. I was incarcerated, and I had gotten the news from my mother. You know, she had mailed me a letter, and I had gotten the news that my cousin was beaten to death by her spouse. They found her body under her house. She had moved from the Bronx to Schenectady, New York. I knew she was in this relationship with this guy. And, you know, as family members, we try to, you know, as the males, you know, whether you're Boricua, whether you're, you know, black or Asian, you know, domestic violence does not discriminate against any ethnic background. That's the first and foremost thing that I've learned from that experience. You know, a lot of times it doesn't really hit anyone until it hits home, no pun intended with the word hit. You know, so when I received the letter, I was so hurt that, you know, I couldn't do anything about it. You know, I was incarcerated. Here I am, a black man from the Bronx, trying to, you know, do what I have to do to survive, even though that's just an excuse. But when I received the letter, it touched me so much that, you know, this is my favorite cousin, Emma. This is my, you know, female cousin. To me, I was like, are you serious? Is this really happening? Like, do you mean, like, you know, they got into altercation and how did this happen? You know, so when I was reading the letter, it just inspired me, you know, to want to say something to her. I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't go to the funeral. Any male man who's been arrested or has been incarcerated, during something like that, you know, whether it's a parent, well, the parents, they'll allow you to go, you know, from the prison to the funeral. But if it's immediate family, like, you know, a cousin or an aunt or something like that, most of the times they will not let you go to the funeral. So therefore, I couldn't go to the funeral. And because of that situation, like I said, it really hit home. Plus, my mother was also an abused woman. You know, and I wanted to talk about that, you know, the topic when you were saying that most of the times for most men, you see, we emulate what we see. And you know, I watched my father beat my mother, you know, a lot of times, like from the age, maybe from an infant to maybe the age 4, because after maybe 4 or 5, my mother got tired of that crap, you know, and she kicked him out. You know, God willing and God bless, nothing happened after that. But, you know, most men emulate what they see, and that's what the problem is with our youth today. You know, there are a lot of men who try to teach their sons, you know, that we are the dominant species and we're supposed to, you know, keep our women submissive, and that's wrong. You know, I just want to say that right now. You know, that's wrong, it's corny, and, you know, but that's what, you know, inspired me to write the book. So I wrote the book when I was incarcerated. And, you know, when I was released back in 2006, you know, I decided to myself, you know, that I wanted to publish this book. I just wanted to get it out, you know, to the youth. I just had something. It was a message in that whole situation. You know, right now I'm getting a little teary-eyed because I still feel the effect of that incident with my cousin, you know, being murdered, you know, due to domestic violence.
Do you mind me asking what her name was?
Her name was Marcin Merritt, you know, God rest her soul, Marcin Merritt, and it's just a sad, you know, situation, and, you know, like I said, it didn't really hit me until that incident happened, although, I've grown up in an abusive household, but that situation right there made me want to say to myself, why do we not talk about this in our urban literature? You know, me being an urban writer, you know, I like street lit. I'm not going to sit up here and say street literature, you know, is bad, but it is under scrutiny because everything in street literature as far as urban writing is violent. Everything we talk about, women are hoochie mamas. You know what I mean? Brothers are drug dealers. Everybody's a killer. Everybody's a thug. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about these topics in you know, our writing. I'm not going to say nobody. You know, like I said, I love my street literature. You know, shout out to Quan. Shout out to Treasure Blue. Shout out to Jaquavis and Ashley. Like, all of these black and Hispanic authors, you know, who write these street literature urban books, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes, you know, we need to get better messages out. So that's the author that I wanted to be, Emma. You know, so
right.
So my first novel was based on domestic violence. Go ahead.
Thank you for calling in, but I got 1 minute more to the show, literally. So,
oh, my God.
No, I know. Thank you. Oh,
okay.
My God. It's just the time went. I don't even know where it went. Be honest. Thank you for co-hosting.
Well,
everybody
thank
that's
you.
Listening.
You are so welcome. You know, if anybody wants to read the book, Emma, I just would like to tell everybody, please go to www.amazon.com. It's on Kindle. It's called Waiting for the Sun to Rise. My name is author Jeffrey McClanahan. You can Facebook me, www.eliteworldtees.com. It's my website, and everybody, it is a great read, and I hope someone picks that book up, a young youth, 16, 17, 25, 34. It doesn't matter. I hope they can read my book, and it reaches a young lady out there that's dealing with domestic violence.
The group page. At the door of the group page, I have all the information for you. Thank you, everybody,
gotcha.
For calling in. I so appreciate it. And please, ladies, please, women, please, please, open your eyes and make a plan. Make a plan.
Yes,
love
the
is
way
not
out.
Supposed to hurt.
Yeah, love is not supposed to hurt, not at all. So peace, love, and blessings to all my queens everywhere around the universe. Peace, love, and blessings.